Worldwide Exchange is now a podcast. I'm Brian Sullivan. Join me as we hit the biggest money stories from around the world, breaking down the risks and rewards of global trade, the news you need to know with real-world actionable advice, and even a little fun and unique content you won't get anywhere else, like the most random but interesting thing you'll hear all day. Subscribe to the Worldwide Exchange podcast today.
This is the American Greed Podcast, presented by CNBC. I'm Stacy Keach. In this episode of American Greed,
my grandmother would be very proud.
Businessman Seth Gilman cares for the most vulnerable while raking in millions.
He used to fly out of the country just to go shopping for his clothes.
His healthcare company is booming, but the source of his success is criminal.
Basically, it became a money-making scheme for him.
And when a super sleuthing nurse stands up to him, his healthcare empire may be on life support.
I had told Seth that I was turning him in. He just laughed at me. He was that arrogant.
...2012 is a banner year for Chicago businessman Seth Gilman.
Seth, will you please come up while I tell guests a little bit about your business?
Gilman operates a hospice company, Passages, the largest in Illinois. And on November 29, 2012, a business group in Chicago honors Gilman for the compassion he brings to the hospice industry.
My grandmother would be very proud. We started Passages Hospice after my grandmother went on hospice herself, tried to treat all our patients, all our vendors, everyone, the communities that we work with the utmost respect.
Respect. Gilman says it's his core value. But not everyone who works with Gilman at Passages believes that he actually lives by it.
He wasn't physically intimidating, but boy, he can mess with your mind. And if he wanted something, he got it.
What he wants, federal investigators say, is more hospice patients. Nurse Karen Wilson witnesses a steady increase in the number of patients at Passages, from 30 to 300 in just 2 years.
He would say he was changing the course of his business. He was tired of not making money. He did not think that 200 to 300 patients was enough.
To increase Passages' revenue from Medicare, Gilman plays fast and loose with how patients are categorized, according to federal investigators. He wants as many hospice patients as possible enrolled in what's called general inpatient care, or GIP. GIP is where the money is. For routine hospice services, Medicare pays approximately $130 per patient per day. But for GIP, it's four times that amount. Medicare pays $550 per patient per day.
The problem was that there were a huge number of patients who weren't at really at the end of their life or weren't really suffering the conditions that Medicare was paying for. Marketers would go out and try to recruit patients, and nurses would be trained to basically make patients look more dying than they actually were in some cases.
Assistant U.S. Attorney Stephen Chan Lee says one example is nurses reworking medical charts to make a bruise look like a life-threatening illness.
Some people were diagnosed as dying from cancer where they didn't have cancer at all.
There was a woman who was mentally challenged and blind.
Daniel Guyton is a journalist who writes about end-of-life issues. In 2014, he begins to investigate Seth Gilman and Passages.
She was told that she was dying, and she wasn't dying. And she was on hospice care. Her family told me they even made funeral arrangements thinking that, you know, she was going to die in weeks.
That patient was still alive at the time of this interview. James O'Leary is a special agent for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The most surprising thing with Seth, in reference to Seth Gilman, is how blunt he was and how he basically became a money-making scheme for him. But there were patients who were on hospice for over 3 to 5 years. That shouldn't be happening.
Over a four-year period, Passages bills Medicare $95 million, and Seth Gilman lines his own pockets. In 2009 and 2010, he hauls in more than $1.8 million in salary and bonuses. Gilman's business expands, and with it, so does his wardrobe.
He used to fly out of the country just to go shopping for his clothes. He used to say how he loved to go to France to buy his clothes.
Gilman is spending his profits on his growing collection of cars, including a Cadillac, a Triumph, and a Porsche Cayenne. But Gilman doesn't keep it all for himself. For the employees who play along, the money is good. From March through December 2010, one executive receives more than $112,000 in bonus money. Other staffers seem eager to earn more cash. One of them even emails, "Let's go balls out with Gips tomorrow. I need a lot of extra money. Need to pay my mom's house for the next few months."
So they had a huge financial incentive to make sure that more patients were put on GIP and to keep patients on GIP longer than would have been legitimate.
That's what makes it mind-blowing and makes it actually even worse than what it looks like on paper. Because they basically, the higher-ups at Passages, including Mr. Gilman, took advantage of people that were trying to do good works. He was an in-your-face, just mean person. And people did not like him.
In late 2008, Wilson quits and walks out the door for good, but not without taking a few files.
I had every intention of turning him in for Medicare fraud. I needed a way to be able to prove that what I was saying was true. So I copied those records because they're computer records. You can change them. And they did.
Worldwide Exchange is now a podcast. I'm Brian Sullivan. Join me as we hit the biggest money stories from around the world, breaking down the risks and rewards of global trade, the news you need to know with real-world actionable advice, and even a little fun and unique content you won't get anywhere else, like the most random but interesting thing you'll hear all day. Subscribe to the Worldwide Exchange podcast today.
These records will soon prove invaluable. In 2009, Medicare notices a steep increase in the amount of money it pays Passages, and an audit is ordered. Gilman knows he'll have to pay Medicare back if he can't justify the invoices, so he directs his staff to alter patient charts to make them appear as if all the GIP patients are legit.
So later on in the investigation, we were able to see very clearly the alterations because we had the original version of the file and the altered version of the file. Had the company simply accepted, yes, we made a mistake, we're going to pay Medicare back and teach our staff properly, things might have been very different in terms of how things progressed.
Behind the scenes, authorities interview Wilson and other former employees. Special Agent Carl Craywinkel is the lead investigator for the FBI.
Well, Karen was one of a number of former Passages employees that we spoke with during the course of our investigation. She's one who stands out to me as being especially valuable.
I think I was relieved that somebody finally listened to me and that it was finally going somewhere.
In February 2012, the FBI executes a search warrant on the headquarters of Passages in Lisle, Illinois.
We were able to get these payroll documents that really did show the connection between the GIP and these huge bonuses that people were getting. Because the documentation really made it clear that they tracked exactly how, well, this patient was on GIP for these 10 days, so that means $250 more for that middle manager.
But despite the search, Gilman appears unfazed. The very next year, he stages a bizarre celebration to announce new initiatives in hospice care.
During the middle of it, there's a flash mob of dancers dressed in nursing scrubs to kind of celebrate, you know, their hospice. It was really kind of ironic to have this kind of exuberant party when your job is to care for people who are dying.
In January 2014, the U.S. attorney in Chicago indicted Seth Gilman on 16 counts of health care fraud. Gilman eventually pleads guilty to one count of health care fraud and another of obstructing a federal audit. He agrees to pay restitution of $9 million.
You have a company like Passages out there getting huge amounts of money they shouldn't be getting and using that money for things like kickbacks. It makes it much harder for the legitimate company that is following the rules to stay in business.
At his sentencing, Gilman tells U.S. District Judge Thomas Durkin, "I betrayed the trust of Medicare, and I besmirched the integrity of hospice altogether. I was stupid, and I was wrong."
Mr. Gilman had glowing references from rabbis, friends, family, saying that this was not the person that he, even though he pled guilty to the charge, that this was not the person that we were bringing out as part of our investigation. I kind of like to think that maybe they don't know him as well as we did.
Judge Durkin does not hold back at the sentencing hearing, saying, "There's nothing that drove this other than greed." On March 7th, 2017, Seth Gilman is sentenced to 6.5 years in federal prison. Neither Gilman nor his lawyer responded to American Greed's request for an interview. Six people who worked for Gilman are also convicted. One of those is under appeal. The rest are serving sentences ranging from 2 years probation to 5 years in jail.
They might not have done this, but for what Seth Gilman had put in motion, they bore responsibility themselves and allowed them to suffer the consequences as well.
Karen Wilson now owns and operates a small hospice business with her daughter. She says she has about 30 patients and is not getting rich. And when she thinks about what she witnessed working for Seth Gilman, Wilson says it is a stark reminder to never put profits before patients.
It all comes down to just plain greed. And he had a good life, he had a good family, they had a good business, and it just wasn't good enough for him.
Thanks for listening to the American Greed Podcast, presented by CNBC. I'm Stacy Keach.
Worldwide Exchange is now a podcast. I'm Brian Sullivan. Join me as we hit the biggest money stories from around the world, breaking down the risks and rewards of global trade, the news you need to know with real-world actionable advice, and even a little fun and unique content you won't get anywhere else, like the most random but interesting thing you'll hear all day. Subscribe to the Worldwide Exchange podcast today.